Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's a special. Here, wait, there's the music. That's how you know it's a bad hair day. And yeah, Matt Terenzio said that he finally figured out what that is, and he got it right. It's Little Feet, and the song is Skin It Back. It's just the first few bars of the song, and it's just a wonderful song, and it's a great way to get started. Speaking of getting started, let's get going here, and I see we already have a caller. Well, we have two callers. Let's start with caller number one. Hello, caller number one. Hello?
Is that
oh,
right?
Oh, my God. They're here. They're showing up everywhere. Hello?
Yes, hello?
Yes, who is this?
Yes, hey, Dave. This is a large print on your on Twitter.
I'm sorry. Your name is?
Large print. I follow you on Twitter.
Awesome. That's great. Well, how are you doing today?
I'm okay.
You're our very first caller. I just want you to know that. It's very exciting. I'm very excited to hear from you.
Very. the question I wanted to ask concerning the whole merger of Facebook and FriendFeed, or rather the acquisition, how is this actually going to affect, like, the end user? Like, how is this going to affect me? Will I notice? Will I care? Is anything really going to change? That's really my main concern.
Well, you know, that's a good question, and I think that's kind of what I wanted to try to see what other people thought here. We got another caller here. Hello?
Hello.
Hello, other caller. What's your name?
This is Chris Heath.
Hey, Chris. How you doing? Did you hear that question?
Well, more of a comment. I was kind of offline most of the day at work, working. And at the end of the day, checked in, and was like, whoa, holy, S in the F.
It's a pretty holy F thing there, isn't it? There's lots of Fs floating around in there, right?
There's a lot of stuff going around, and it took me a while to settle. I stayed about a half hour after work just in front of the computer doing catching up on what it was. And to me, it's like, hold on, everybody, let's just sit back. You know, FriendFeed's got a great team. Let's hope that they can do a lot of good at Facebook.
Why do you care if they do a lot of good at Facebook?
Well, Facebook is the 800-pound gorilla or whatever you want to call
it. But are you a user or are you like – see, I don't want to do vendor sports here. You know what I'm saying? It's sort of like I don't want to figure out who's going to finish in first place, second place, third place. I don't care. You know, I care because I use FriendFeed, right? And I don't – honestly, I have a Facebook account, but I hardly ever use it. And so my entire concern here revolves around, well, what's going to happen to the work that we – I've been tiptoeing around on FriendFeed, kind of figuring that something like this was coming, you know. And so the first question – I don't remember your name, first caller. But he asked a question, and it was a good one. What does it mean for users? What's it going to do? What do you think? Chris?
Well, I hope that they can bring into Facebook what FriendFeed has, because I'm the same way. I don't use Facebook really all that much.
So why do you care? Tell me, why do you give a damn what they do to Facebook?
Because Facebook is really where all the action of people I really know is at.
Okay, well, okay, that's interesting. I just brought in another caller. Hello, are you there? New caller? Let's bring in another one. I've got them stacked up here, guys. Hello, next caller. Hello, you there?
Hey there. Am I on, Dave?
Oh, is this Marshall?
This is Marshall.
My God, Marshall, how you doing? Have you been listening?
I have never been better. Oh, you better believe it.
So tell me, what do you think? What do you think about all this mushy goss?
Oh, I don't know. I'm excited about it on some level and concerned about it from others. I mean, I recently have begun using Facebook more seriously, and I'd love to see FriendFeed influence the heck out of them. But I always have to shed a little tear when a really innovative startup gets swallowed up by a giant machine, too.
Uh-huh.
Dave, first caller, can I ask a question? Because, see, this is kind of where I'm on the outside with this.
Keep it crisp, okay? We got to, ask your question, but ask
shortly,
okay?
What exactly does FriendFeed do? Because a lot of people on Twitter or Facebook, what is the function of FriendFeed?
You know, I'll tell you something. People who've been using FriendFeed for years have been trying to figure that one out. And, we're going to find out, because if And that was something that was rather disturbing to me, was that there wasn't a whole lot of communication. They had basically two blog posts, one from FriendFeed, one from Facebook, and neither one of them said anything to or about or to the FriendFeed users.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's kind of ominous, you know. Can you imagine that they spent a whole lot of time talking about them, thinking about them? I don't think they did. I don't know what, you know, FriendFeed is kind of, you know, I'll try to answer your question. I know I gave you sort of a, maybe a snotty answer there, but it's kind of like a mix between what Twitter is and a bulletin board and a little bit of a blogging system thrown in there with a kind of weird priority system, so that when something gets, somehow something gets updated, it pops up to the top of the heap. It's not, you know, it's not reverse chronologic, which is kind of what makes it a little bit, that's why it's hard to answer the question, because it's not really like anything that we've seen before, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, of course, but then it doesn't necessarily make an entirely huge amount of sense either the way it works. To me,
you know, Dave, I explain it like this, Marshall here. I describe FriendFeed as a multi-network aggregator. You know, it pulls in updates from Delicious, Twitter, YouTube, all kinds of different places, and gives you one central place to discuss those updates. And then when people add to the discussion, there's an algorithm involved, but more or less that little topic of conversation gets bumped up to the top of the list of
the
everyone who knows
is
anyone in the
feature.
Conversation.
Discussion is a big feature. When I have something that requires discussion or I want to invite discussion, I generally post that on FriendFeed, not Twitter. Hey,
so
just brought in a new caller from 408 area code. Hello, you there? Hello, caller. Okay, nobody there. Let's bring him. We got him stacked up here, Marshall. So I'm going to bring him. Hello, caller from area code 330. Hello. Hello. Okay, nobody there. Who wants to go next?
Still here. This is Chris. I agree completely with everything that Marshall said so far here.
So basically, it sounds like something that Twitter should be, instead of, because I, like Dave, you plugged a blog that I made the other day about Twitter and how it's kind of a waste of time. And that's me.
Your name is big type now, right?
Yeah, it's large print now.
Large what?
Large print underscore.
Large print.
What
does that mean exactly?
It's actually an MC name. We're not going to get into that right now. But
I gotta say, you are one of the funniest tweeters I've ever seen. You crack me.
Thank
up
you.
All the time. Yeah.
Thank you. But it basically sounds like an actual effective tool in what Twitter should be or what Twitter should move to become, because right now Twitter's been plagued by spammers now, and all it is just, it's like Shoutcast. It's ridiculous. I have no idea why I'm still on Twitter, to tell you the God's honest. It's just
no,
that it's...
I agree with that.
Marshall, you don't know why you're on Twitter either?
Yeah, just because everybody else is, you know. I think name squat.
Yeah, I'm
glad. Wow, so
anyway.
I know you don't want to get into vendor sports, but the Wall Street Journal did.
Go ahead, you know, whatever.
Wall Street Journal just reported that Facebook paid nearly $50 million to the company in cash and stocks.
Right, and that's, you see, it's funny money. That's monopoly money. You can't sell. I mean,
$15 million in cash, they say, and the rest in stocks.
So let's figure this one out. You know, the stock is worth squat, and the $15 million is worth $15
million. How much has it been so far?
Pardon me?
How much have Paul and Brett put in so far? It can't be that much.
Not just Paul and Brett. They have a venture capitalist in there, and I think they've been burning through a fair amount of money. I do, you know. My guess is that everybody got whole, and they got a nice little bonus, and that was the deal. I think that's probably what happened here.
When Facebook cashes out, they'll all get wicked rich.
They already are, most of them, wicked rich anyway.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I mean, they all had, I don't know about all of them, but most of them had Google stock options early on, engineered Google stock options. These were the, you know, insider guys, and they made a lot of money. And sure. And that explains a lot of their behavior too, I think, is that, you know, they weren't very outgoing, they didn't reach out to their users very often. They, you know, there would be a conference in San Francisco and they would hold their party in Mountain View, which I think is ridiculous. You know, I mean, it in itself isn't like so terrible, but they never came out and like wanted to hang out and join the rest of us. They didn't listen to anybody, and they, you know, the thing that was most appalling to me was that they didn't even listen to Scoble. And Scoble, you know, sort of is the biggest friend feed promoter there is, bigger than they are actually. And what did he get? He got squat, you know. I mean, which leads me to another question. This is my main question, okay, in this whole thing is that where am I gonna put the stuff that I used to put on friend feed? You know, it's like people, it's the same question. People are giving me shit today because I'm still using trim to shorten my URLs.
Yeah, I
yesterday,
think I,
nobody was giving me a hard time about that, you know?
I jabbed you on that one, Dave.
What?
I jabbed you on Facebook on that one, or on friend feed on that one, Dave.
Who did, Marshall?
This is Chris.
Oh, Chris. Well, yeah, what's the problem, Chris? I mean, what do you think? You think I'm going to rewrite all my stuff in, like, 24 hours just because some guy says he's shutting down his service?
No, it was more of a tongue-in-cheek, you know, like why people ask Leo Laporte whenever he's having a problem, why don't you call the tech guy? You know, I should have put a smiley face with a wink eye, you know.
Oh, I didn't catch the smiley face thing. Had I seen that, I wouldn't worry. I mean, the thing is I got to tell you, I knew beforehand that he was shutting it down. He told me privately that he was. So, you know, it was a surprise to me that he announced it publicly, but I knew it was coming. And
it's too bad.
Pardon me?
It's really too bad.
Yeah, I think it sucks. I think it sucks, and I think that it's a harbinger of the kinds of things we need to be thinking about. In other words, I think we've built too long, too innocently on this idea that, you know, we can sort of trust these tech companies to watch out for us, you know, because they're going to watch out for themselves.
So should Twitter buy Bitly like they did with Surmise?
Who says this? Who's asking that?
This is Chris again.
Marshall, what do you think?
Oh, if they haven't already, I think... Perhaps. I don't know. That's it's one of those questions, you know, when you talk about what could be a relatively simple technology, and yet it's there's a layer of complexity, and there's so many people using it. I don't know. I wrote a post a while ago that had a list of 10 different companies that I thought Twitter ought to consider acquiring, and Bitly was one of those 10, but it turns out they acquired TweetGrid first. You know, through a hire acquire kind of deal.
Okay. What's TweetGrid?
TweetGrid is a web-based interface that you can display multiple columns of search results on a dashboard-type view.
Hmm.
For good for tracking issues.
I didn't hear about that. When did this happen?
What's that, Dave?
When did that happen? When was that deal?
Last week.
Interesting. Hmm. So,
yeah, it wasn't, probably wasn't a real big deal. It was one of those things, you know, and on some level, this friend feed Facebook deal is the same, where, I mean, look at it this way. Everybody has seen that Twitter traffic is growing, Facebook is exploding, and friend feed really hasn't been growing that much, and mm-hmm. it's confusing, and what's the business model, et cetera, et cetera. So you tell this crew of 15 people you have an opportunity to go work at Facebook, you know, and we'll throw some millions around as well. Sounds like a good deal.
I think you got it. I think that's more or less what you're looking at here. Yeah. And, of course, if that turns out to be true, then as users, we're really screwed. That's the end of that, you know, because unless you want to switch over to Facebook for everything, which I will not under any circumstances. I do not see myself doing that, you know.
Dave, this is Chris again. Did you see TechCrunch's second post with the handwritten notes from the interview with Chris Cox and Brett Taylor?
No, I didn't. What'd they say?
Let me see if I can pull it back up. But there was a basically they're going to keep FriendFeed as is while they figure out how to roll it into Facebook.
Right.
For the unplanned future, FriendFeed will continue, apparently, as it is right now.
Yeah.
Maybe there'll be no new development.
Wait a minute. I just had a thought here because Twitter's been, Facebook has been really confusing and annoying with its constant redesigns. So being that they just acquired FriendFeed, are they going to implement, like, FriendFeed's functions into Twitter to further piss off every user of Facebook?
I mean, I think it's probably the other way around. I think we're going to get converted to Facebook, and they're going to go, well, you don't like it, you know, go use Twitter.
I don't think that's true, Dave. I disagree.
Well, what
do
you
think
is going to happen then? Tell me what's going to happen then, Marshall.
Well, I just put up a post that detailed 5 qualities of FriendFeed that they're going to bring to the Facebook party, and I think that those guys, on one level, it's a chance to work at Facebook because FriendFeed wasn't necessarily going anyplace, but on the other hand, you know, they had enough money that they didn't really have to sell, but they had the opportunity to.
No, but you're doing the vendor sports thing again. I'm asking you, what happens to us? What happens to our data? What happens
on
to the project that we want to use FriendFeed for? What happens to this?
Oh,
it wasn't
looking good for a while. I mean, a bunch of their recent redesigns have really simplified the service away from what power users are interested in, I think, around analytics and complex search queries.
So, in other words, let's just be straight on this. What we're looking at is another trim. Ultimately, that is what's happening here, right?
On one level. On the other level, if you're a Facebook user, and I do use Facebook sometimes because a whole lot of my old friends.
That's like saying that Eric at Trim is going to be able to get another job when he finishes shutting down Trim.
No, I think they're going to change Facebook.
But I don't care. Why do I? You see, I don't care about that. You care.
So there's going to be another complicated, convoluted, hard to use redesign. That
not only that, okay.
That grandmothers won't be able to to latch
my
on.
My grandmother is dead, so I don't even worry about my grandmother.
You don't care about that.
My concern. My concern is how are we going to do our work? And what lessons do we have to learn from this? When are we going to stop pouring our hearts and souls into silos created by Silicon Valley companies?
Well, if we haven't learned to stop pouring our hearts and souls into somebody else's silo by now, then you know that's our own fault.
It's our own fault. Okay, I'll cop to that. What are we going to do?
It was like with Trim. People were saying, you know, well, you know, I think it was on Twit this week, they said, you know, there was conversation about, you know, well, you know, these shortened URLs should just be for throwaways anyways. You know, if they get broken in a week, you shouldn't really care.
Well, I care about the links that I create. This is a web. This is
right.
The
That's
web,
why
actually.
The link that you control.
Oh, you know, the problem is I didn't set up this 140-character limit, okay?
Right, I'm pissed. That too.
And that's why we're doing this, right? That's why we even got into this in the first place.
Right, yeah. I don't like Twitter. The main reason.
I don't either.
I think that some of us will do a little dance where we do our work on in one silo and then jump to the next. And some of us will take inspiration from some of the innovation that comes out of those silos and build open standards that can exist outside of there. And
yeah, that's what I want to do. Hey, listen, there are a few callers. There are 2 callers on the line that I've... Are anybody else here who hasn't spoken? This is very strange. I've got 2 callers. Should I just hang up on them? Okay, here they go.
Dave, this is Rahul. I'm the 330 guy.
Hello? Who is that?
I'm Rahul. I guess you'd call me a tourist, but I'm just sort of
learning
my way around.
Oh, cool. I love tourists. Do we love tourists?
I'm from New York. I hate tourists. I'm sorry.
Oh, come now. All right, you have to go now. Okay,
no,
so what's
that was a joke.
Well, it wasn't very funny. Anyway, it was. So Alejandro, is that your name?
I'm sorry, me?
Tourist.
I'm Rahul.
Say again, what's your name?
Rahil, that's R-A-H-I-L.
Rahil, okay. So what's up?
I've just been following your post of late. This is a funny story. I signed up on FriendFeed yesterday.
Sorry about that. Wow.
Right.
I loved it
completely.
You did? Okay. Well, it has.
Yeah, what was your experience with Fresh Eyes?
I love the fact that this was my one-stop shop. I come here. I don't have to go check some of the. I don't know. There's a lot of crap that comes through on my Facebook feed, and this was the simplest way for me to check what's happening real time, which was the status messages. And my Twitter feed came in, so those were the two things that I was monitoring sitting on FriendFeed, and it gave me a lot of room to comment, like you said, to open up to discussions. So I love that.
Cool.
It's a grand sham.
Are you happy that they got bought by Facebook?
I guess that'll depend on what they do with either of those services, I guess. If they bring in stuff from FriendFeed into Facebook and, I don't know, make a Facebook Lite for mobile devices, then that would be interesting. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Hey Dave, from this TechCrunch article I was talking about earlier, Arrington's rough quote that he hand-wrote down from Brett is, the basic idea is that Facebook doesn't want to disrupt the product. They'll take a lot of ideas that work well on FriendFeed and see how they apply to Facebook, and over time they'll look at how to integrate the product. Now, over time, is that a year, 2 years, 6 months? We don't know, but sounds like for the time being they're going to let FriendFeed be FriendFeed, and they're going to work on how they can bring FriendFeed-like features into Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can I disrupt this with a question? Because that just piqued something in my mind. I may be reaching out on a limb here, but was in any ways FriendFeed some kind of a competition with Facebook? Because then it just feels like the automobile industry when they bought the electric car and just canned it. Like, they're just killing off competition in some ways.
I don't think that's to some extent.
But, it's not like that, though. It's not like this was going to be our great savior, and it was an alternate sort of way of doing things. It wasn't. They were stealing ideas from it. It's different. In other words, the auto industry, when it shut down the electric, when they shut down the trains, I guess they were electric. They were cutting off an avenue of growth that they wanted to kill, not to absorb. Facebook, if anything, has been just basically picking off features from FriendFeed. Also, I got to say, having been an insider in Silicon Valley for many, many years, that I wouldn't take any comfort in the quote that that Arrington pulled from the press conference.
Sure.
That's standard boilerplate on acquisitions, and they always say that. What you have to do is you have to wait, two, 3 months to see where it's really going to happen. But it also pretty much telegraphs. I think what you can expect to happen here is there won't be any more work done on FriendFeed as it stands. That means if you were waiting for a feature to come, it isn't going to come, and eventually it will get shut down. And I would like to see them, before they go off into Facebook land, if they haven't already done so, put in some export functionality in there so that at least we can get our data out of there and maybe can create something that is open, loosely, small pieces loosely joined, that's on lots of different web servers, that sort of picks up some of the ideas from FriendFeed that we like and moves them forward. Because there are some ideas in there that are worth, there's a reason why people like myself use it. I use it because it actually has things that other guys don't have. And they're worth it, But I wouldn't hold my breath on this one. I certainly wouldn't bet long-term on it. It's more likely to go the same route that something like Dodgeball went or Jaiku inside of Google. Remember Jaiku?
Yeah.
It's more likely to be one of those.
Yeah, if I had to make an automotive, comparison, it would be more towards turn of the century, early 1900s when GM was forming. Facebook is the
forming GM, and, you know, they just brought in Cadillac or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. And those guys, actually, there was one bright spot I saw in this that their API, the friend feed API, is a lot easier than Facebook's. So if the net effect on this is that Facebook lets these guys put a simple API onto Facebook, then it will have an advantage to everybody, and I could foresee actually using Facebook. One of the things that has kept me out of Facebook is that I can't make any of my little cool gadgets for it, you know. Hey, I just recognized there's another guy on the line from area code 503. Hello, are you there?
Yeah, hi, this is Brian Ryer.
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I'm a big fan of the InterTubes, and I've been following you for a long time. I was a Radio Userland user back when.
What was your last name again?
Ryer, R-Y-E-R.
Okay, well, nice. Glad to meet you or hear from you. I'm very
thanks.
Bad.
Thanks. I had like kind of a comment that could turn into a question, maybe a discussion. It seems like on some of these things, like the URL shorteners and maybe Twitter just generally, that we need to perhaps find a way for these companies to go public, not in the sense of sell a bunch of stock, but in the sense of just becoming a public service, just becoming another app, not an appy, but another protocol. You know, maybe there's a way for these guys who invent marvelous things to make a bunch of money and then turn it into something that comes out of the wall like electricity. So I don't know if that's worth discussing. But
no, I think that's very much worth discussing. It's a puzzle that the tech business has not been willing to try to solve, because you can flip this around the other way. You know, is what about compensating users? You know, take a guy like Scoble, who pours his heart and soul into these products when he really gets into it, you know. Why does a guy like that not get any upside? Why only employees of the company? You know, why should the user get some stock? I don't actually see why not. I'd like to crack that up. I would also like to, absolutely. That's what I've been trying to discuss with the Trim guy, which is how could we do a graceful transition here, because we need what he has. We do actually need it. Until Twitter decides to, you know, no longer require us to shorten URLs, we're going to be shortening them. So we need something that's sort of stable and that is a consensus. Like, we need an Apache of URL shorteners, right? I think that's what you're kind of saying, Brian.
That's exactly right, like a DNS system for shortening URLs,
Yeah, exactly. And why can't we – well, what would you – so what's the – what would be the first step on that? Do you see a next step to get there?
I have no idea.
That's such a good question, but now you just sort of leave us hanging, you know.
Don't you need an open consortium or something like that?
Pardon me?
Don't you need like an open consortium, Google, you know, I don't know what companies, but, you know, there's got to be, you know, a bunch of big hitters of companies, hardware, software, service behind it, right?
No.
I think big companies don't look at things that way.
They sort of look at you when you say stuff like that, and they think Mother Teresa. That's what's going through their mind when they hear that kind of stuff. They say, well, geez, it's nice that you're such a utopian, but we're here to make money.
Have you guys looked at the Perl system, PURL.org, the OCLC, the Online Library
Permanent
of Congress?
URLs, right? That's what it stands for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's, you know, that's so basic. It's not really even about, I mean, if you wanted to create something, I suppose that is kind of a URL shortener. Is that what you're saying?
Yep.
It doesn't have an API and doesn't have any stats.
Yep. Well, that's an organization that I would love to see, you know, step up and fill this need.
Mm. Another requirement here is that I will not trust another URL shortener that I cannot map my own domain to.
Right.
Maybe it needs to have their own shortener. Isn't that Awesomer or something?
Yeah, I tried to figure out what it is, but you have to apply for these things at Awesome, and you have to pay them money. So there are a lot of hoops you have to jump through to just even find out what they're doing, you know? And so, I mean, there's a sort of sense, Brian, that, you know, what you said is that you want something to be open and available to everybody, and, you know, that is what it's going to take for it to be the consensus. when I start seeing, like, the guy with 3.ly, he showed up at our site yesterday, and he started telling people, well, you should contact me by email. And I said, no way. If you have a proposition, why don't you just tell us what it is? And why don't you tell us your name while you're at it, too?
Well, I completely agree.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think perhaps, I mean, I don't know if the Google's Wave is any sort of an example, but they seem to be saying, we don't want to own this. You know, I don't know if I appreciate it.
I don't think that's
would be necessary.
Come on, I got a bridge to sell you, too. You want to buy the Brooklyn Bridge? I'll be happy to sell it to you, because of course they want to own it. You know, there are other ways to own things other than just, you know, having title to it. If you make it so complicated, nobody else understands what you're doing, you own it.
Right.
And I think
fair
that's
kind
of what Wave is.
Well, let me just throw one
people that can support Wave at a, you know, on a large scale.
Pardon me?
Well, I think I heard somebody talking the other day about how, you know, sure, Google will let you, you know, run your own Wave server, but if you want to have, you know, any kind of larger community on it, you're going to need some serious back end, and they're going to be the only people that,
right,
you know, will be able
why
to do that.
Why doesn't Google solve this short URL shortening problem? They have it too. Why don't they just do this as sort of like, the internet has a problem here, and we're big, and this is just a little drop in the bucket for us. And, you know, our motto is don't be evil, right? Why don't they just nail this one? Why don't they just say, look, the internet needs this, and we can provide it, so let's just go ahead and do it.
I wonder who owns bi.ng. Yuck, 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 you know?
Bi.ng? What is that?
Uh-huh. That's I joke to say that if Google search won't solve the problem, perhaps it's yet another opportunity for Bing and Microsoft to step in and yield their thunder.
Man, I have so much trouble with that, you know. But sure, if Microsoft did it with the, you know, all you need is the, you know, it's the FeedBurner feature. If you remember, FeedBurner was like, I was very, you know, against FeedBurner when I first heard about it because it was centralizing something that was beautiful because it was decentralized. And they solved the problem. They actually did by giving you, letting you map your own domain to your FeedBurner, you know, URL. And so if Microsoft gave us the ability to map our URL to it, then of course we would go with it. Because then if they ever screwed us, we'd just take it back. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing you want to avoid is this one that we're in with FriendFeed and the one we're in with Trim, which is where our data is on their server and it makes sense nowhere else.
Well, there are open source live streaming plugins for WordPress. You know, there's the DISO project that who knows where that's at, but it's related to the ActivityStreams work that's going on right now.
I really want things that run that just require HTTP. You know,
yeah.
I like WordPress and everything, but it's, you know, I'm tired of putting my lot into other people's, you know, silos. And WordPress is a good one, you know. But let's get this stuff working on the internet, you know. Hey, I got another caller from 503. Hello?
Hey, this is Brian Hendrickson.
Brian Hendrickson. God, we two Brians from Portland.
Yep.
How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing really good. How are you?
Well, we got a lot of people on the line. I'm sure they're all great. What's up?
Well, I was calling in about, I guess I've been kind of thinking about the TRIM situation, and I found a copy of the Trim API last night and started to kind of prune it down to its essential parts, and actually cloned the basic feature where you call a method called trim_URL, and it gives you back a short URL. And I noted how Jay Rosen had mentioned that for him, his ideal URL shortener would be a four-letter domain and a four-letter code, you know, after the URL. So, and then
did you get a four-letter domain, Brian?
I did, yeah.
What is it?
So my intent with it is that it could be a drop-in replacement for tr.im. You would just change
I get it. I love this. Go ahead.
I already cloned the entire API in URLs, so it's only about 7 primary methods.
Yeah.
So my domain is it's reply rp.ly.
Wow. Everybody give Brian a big cheer. Man. rp.ly sounds awesome.
Thanks. So what now, I've been thinking about it, though, is how can the community own it? And I wanted to ask Jay Rosen, and I wanted to ask you.
No, ask the other Brian from we got another Brian from Portland on the line who did you hear the question he asked?
I was kind of fumbling with trying to call in, so yeah, go ahead, Brian.
Yeah,
well,
I
did hear all that. I just don't know if I have an answer how we.
But Brian is now asking the two Brians, like there's a mirror here, right? Okay, the two Brians are asking the flip side of the same question. Okay. Brian, number one, you said, how can we enable a developer to make the transition that Brian, number two, wants to make?
Right,
all right,
well,
so
I mean...
What do you want, Brian, number two? How much money do you want?
I would give over the domain name for... I want my $75 back, but...
okay, you found a way to do an LY domain for $75, huh?
Yep.
Because I just did one for $125,
$150. Oh.
Yeah, so I got ripped off. Huh?
It was kind of tricky to find it, yeah.
So I did loose.ly, which is kind of cool, right? Yeah.
What is it?
Loose.ly.
Oh, like, I saw that. I thought that was really cool.
It is cool. I couldn't help myself, you know. But rp.ly is so much cooler.
I actually found a database of words that end in ly. And searched only for the ones that were 4 letters long, and I queried the domain registrar for every 4-letter word, got a list of all the ones that were available that were 4 letters, and then looked through all of them to see which one was most compelling. And I'll put the rest of the list on your in a comment on scripting.com.
Well, you don't have to do that. I mean, I think that you we'll figure something out here. Maybe. Maybe the thing to do is, look, why not have a business model on this? Why not actually make some money? Why not make this into a business? Does anybody have a problem if Brian makes this into a business?
Well, are you going to discuss how to do that and to let the community own it at the same time, which was his original goal when he came in?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first I'm going to suggest that Brian open source this software, okay?
It's already open source.
Good, okay. I know Brian, by the way, pretty well, and I figured that it was probably already open source, so... I didn't think I was sticking my neck out too much there. Okay, so let's open source the software. And then, now, how did you implement it? On what kind of a server? Is it like a Unix server? Or?
Yeah, it actually could run on Windows or Mac or Linux.
What's
just
the base?
PHP.
What are you building it in? Python?
Well, you know that I build stuff with PHP primarily, so that's what it's built in now. Although it is so simple that I could easily see other implementations.
Why don't you sell
up.
Subdomains of that to begin with? That's what I'm going to suggest, is that you because it's so short, right? I could talk Jay into another 2 characters, okay? I think I could. In other words, j.rp.ly.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then I would say open source it is, and then let's make it a package. I'll help you do this if you want some help.
Yeah.
That other people will too. Let's get it running on Amazon.
Yeah, I'm already on there. I can.
And so that basically anybody can have a URL shortener, and you can pay for hosting it. You know, that's your problem, right? And if you want a nice, rp.ly subdomain, then charge. I mean, I don't know how you feel about this, but this is a way for you to make a few bucks. Charge, people $50 a year for that, And for that, they get your continued development of the software, and we all feel good about having rewarded a developer. So I'm throwing that out there. I'm not sure that that's going to fly, but
it seems simple enough that it's could work. The other business potentially is hosting one of these servers too under a different domain.
What do you mean by that?
Well, just another rp.ly. If you had a different domain and you wanted to have your own shortener. And that you could sell subdomains of.
It should probably cost $44.44 a year.
Where'd you come up with that number?
Well, it's just four, so that's, it seemed to me important. So 44 seems easier to market.
Well, how much money do you need to make? Do you recoup your investment, basically?
well, that's not really why I was calling or anything.
No, okay. You're calling because you want to be a hero?
No, I'm interested in the architectural problem.
Ah. What's the architectural problem?
It's that URLs are being made short for this new medium, and they're extremely fragile.
Yeah, totally.
How does the community own it?
What's that?
And how does the community own the solution?
That was my question. Yeah, I was hoping that somebody had a great idea about that. And I don't have a big problem with Dave's answer. You know, he's encouraging me to, make it immediately available and useful to people in a way that I guess would be mutually beneficial. You know, that's a definite possibility.
I would pay you $100 a year. I'm going to make you an offer right now, okay? And see if anybody else will match the offer, okay? I would pay you $100 a year to host my URL shorteners for the 40 tweet project that I have for me and Jay and Neiman Labs. And, you know, and all I want to be able to do is make those trim API calls. And I would want to give you a subdomain because that was one of the things I said earlier. I said I would not, no matter how much I trust you and like you, Brian, I still want that ability to switch.
Yeah, so I already designed that feature.
Pardon me?
I already designed that feature.
Good. Okay, so while you have rp.ly for like everyday use, I won't use that. I will create my own. And I think, you know, for me, I would have been happy to pay Awesome, you know, the $100 that they want, but for two things. One is I don't know them, okay? But I do know you, and I do trust you. So that takes care of one concern. And the other is they had a lot of limits, and I don't want those limits.
I have a pretty good hosting arrangement already. I'm spread out across a local colo here and also onto Amazon with my DNS separated across those two. And so I have a pretty good infrastructure
already.
Let's
see if we can get other people to pop up and say, here's $100, you know? How many of those, Marshall, does that work for you? Does that help? And we're going to own it anyway because he's already open sourced it, right?
Mm-hmm. But I'm going to pay $100 to have it hosted. And
you don't
have
to pay anything.
You going to cover my share, Dave?
No, I mean, I would say this is voluntary. You know, this is like if you want to be able to point to a success story here, that's why I would pay the $100. It's the same reason I pay $100 a year to KQED, you know, our local public broadcasting network here in San Francisco.
There you go.
Because it's the right thing to do. That's why I do it. I don't do it because they would cut me off if I didn't do it, because they wouldn't.
Oh, I would totally make a donation to a super developer-friendly, open-source, turnkey URL shortening service with an API.
Awesome. How about
I like that.
You know, guys, we have like 2 minutes left, so not a lot of time here to argue about this.
Heck, throw in the same version of Friend Feed, and I'll double my donation.
Yeah. You know, that's going to be maybe we need like 2 hours on that podcast, because that's going to be more complicated. This URL shortening thing is pretty simple, you know.
This is Brian again, and I actually have a big part of that working, you know, with push to the browser. And anyway, I'd love to talk about that sometime.
Well, we will. Let's do that, because I have a set of requirements for that as well. And, you know, where I had identified the one thing I need for the URL shortener, I'm pretty sure I know what that one thing is, too, for the friend feed. I need to be able to host my own content. And then the links between the pieces of content are what the network manages. In other words, let's build it out of the internet. You know, the internet already has all this ability of linking between things, you know. So rather than build our little internet inside of a box, let's just use the internet itself. So I think that'll be a recurring theme. Hello?
I was saying, you know, that's a great idea. Why weren't we already doing that with services like Trim and Bitly and TinyURL?
Because we needed training wheels, because that's how this stuff always works.
It's evolutionary. Okay, I see it.
Yeah. I mean, at first, that's 10 seconds, guys. Hey, I want to thank you all. This is our very first call-in podcast, and I think it was a great success. And thank you all very much.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, Dave.